Lair of the Mounties. We present episode 34 in Lair of the Mounties. Into the peaceful, law-abiding atmosphere of England, there comes suddenly the startling news of a gold robbery in the English Channel. A story of unbelievable piracy in the 20th century. A cross-channel boat, the Ibex, has been stopped in mid-channel shortly after midnight. Armed men hold up the officers and crew. $2 million in gold bullion is taken from the ship's strong room, and the pirates disappear into the night without a trace. All England is ablaze with the incredible news.
Extra! Extra! All about the
gold
robbery! Extra! Extra!
Miss
Guest! Yes?
Wait a minute.
I wish you'd shut that door.
All right.
You get that paper? What is this robbery?
Just a minute. Oh, here it is. Good gracious, listen.
What is it?
Daring robbery on high seas. Ships seized by armed bandits. $500,000 in bar gold in transit from London to Bank of France. Stolen from ship's strong room. Oh, how dreadful.
Here, give me that paper. I think it's impossible. Officers and crew held up by armed bandits. Ship's purser forced to open strong room. Gold removed in ship's boats. Well, what do you know about that?
As you say, the thing is impossible.
I don't know. A robbery like that isn't impossible, of course. According to the report, there are over 20 men in the gang. Must have been carefully planned. After getting away with it, that's something else.
But who would want to steal all that gold? And where could they hide it? How could they dispose of it?
Now, that's a very sensible question, Miss Guest. It's what puzzles me. If the report is true, and it must be, what organization in the world could be big enough to handle such a job, short of a nation?
A nation? What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm just wondering.
Hello? Yes? One moment, please. It's for you, Inspector.
Yeah. Hello? Oh, yes. Speaking. Yes? Yes. I'll be there in 10 minutes. Room 48. All right.
Room 48, eh? We must be getting important.
I don't know. Naval Intelligence, number 5, Commander Reed. Let us stall off any appointments, Miss Guest. Looks like a job.
Yes.
All right. Hold everything to the present. I'll telephone if I have to go out of town.
All right.
Hello, Blair. Thanks for being so prompt. Sit down. You've heard this news, of course.
You mean the gold robbery?
Yes.
Only the newspaper report.
I see. There's a good deal more to it than that. The biggest thing we've had since the war.
How did they manage to stop that ship?
That's the most astounding thing of all. The ship's engines failed suddenly. She's a motor ship. The ignition went off. Lights went out. The ship was helpless.
You mean before the robbery?
Yes. Something stopped her.
Why, I never heard of such a thing.
The funny thing is that it happened once before.
What?
Yes, 4 months ago. Happened to the cruiser Thetis in the Mediterranean, just east of Malta. She stopped suddenly the same way. Nothing happened. The power came on again, and she proceeded on her course. But it was never accounted for.
That's extraordinary.
Yes. Now, the details of this Ibex affair.
Just a minute. What is my standing in this affair?
Orders are to employ you as before. Special investigation work. That's satisfactory?
Certainly.
Good. The Ibex is a small cross-channel boat. Passengers and mail. Left Southampton at midnight. At about 12:50, as I said, the engine failed mysteriously. The passengers were all asleep below. The watchman on deck noticed a small group of men near the bridge steps. Before he could give the alarm, he was knocked out.
Then the gang was already aboard ship?
Part of them, apparently. Went aboard as ordinary passengers. Two of the engine room crew were in it.
All right, carry on.
There was a whistle signal from near the bridge. Men all over the ship moved simultaneously. They killed the officer on the bridge and seized the quartermaster at the wheel. The officers and crew are locked in their rooms, and all exits from below are blocked within a couple of minutes.
Haven't they a carefully planned job? How'd they get the gold?
There were 2 treasury guards on duty. They were overpowered. The bandits lowered 3 of the ship's boats and opened the iron doors on the lower deck. Inside 10 minutes, the gold was in the boats. At 1:13, the officers broke out of their quarters and found the boats gone and the ship drifting.
What an astounding thing. Are you quite sure of this mysterious stopping of the ship?
Well, yes. That's the queerest thing of all. Our people are working on it. It was some sort of influence that came from a point directly ahead of the Ibex.
How do you know that?
Because the freighter Lucerne was 3 miles directly astern on the same course. She felt it slightly. Another ship running parallel with the Ibex noticed nothing.
What do you want me to do?
Tell me something. What do you know about a place known as Greystone Manor in Devonshire?
Greystone Manor? Why?
Well, I'm asking you.
Oh, I know it slightly. Private estate near Coombe Seton in Devonshire.
It's all right, Blair. Don't hesitate to talk of it. Lord Waverton told me all about the job you did for him down there.
Indeed. But what has Greystone Manor to do with this affair?
It might have a good deal to do with it. As I said, I know about that affair of Greystone Hall and about Schwartz, the man they deported.
Well?
The interesting thing is that the new owner of Greystone Hall is another rather mysterious character. His name is Paul Kasser. Ever hear of him?
Yes, of course. Big financier, isn't he?
That's the man. He moved into Greystone Hall soon after Schwartz left the country.
What nationality is Kasser?
He's a citizen of Mauritania. Ever hear of it?
Mauritania? Yes, once or twice. In the Balkans somewhere, isn't it?
That's near enough. Anyway, it's a little nation, very progressive. Has a fascist government that is very active in Central Europe. They have a good army and a magnificent air force. Kasser is the financial power behind the throne.
So? I still don't see any connection.
Right. Here we go. We've been picking up a lot of short-wave messages in figure cipher lately. Here's one of them.
Where do they come from?
Three places. There are three different stations sending this cipher. The Mauritanian Embassy in London, and a private station we located at Greystone Hall. Then, last night, before and after the robbery, we were picking up messages from a ship somewhere in the Channel. All in this cipher, or one similar.
But still, it might have nothing at all to do with the robbery.
Do you understand our method of locating a sending station?
No, not very well. I know that you can get the exact direction or bearing of a sending station.
We can do a lot better than that. It's perfectly simple. We have plenty of naval wireless stations all along the south coast. We were working on these cipher messages before this Ibex robbery happened.
And what did you get?
We had all our stations plot the bearing of this ship that was sending. The directions all intersect in and around the area where the Ibex has stopped.
You mean the night of the robbery there was a ship sending these messages from positions near the vessel that was stopped?
Right.
Then why couldn't you find her?
Oh, come now. We did the best we could. We had 5 destroyers out within an hour of the report of the robbery. They all picked up the wireless signals and headed for the location. But the signals stopped, and they didn't find any ship.
What do you think it was? A submarine?
It could be, of course. Now for the last point. After that robbery occurred, as I said, we got messages coming from a ship in the Channel. We plotted her position on the map. She was steering a course for the Devonshire coast.
And Coombe Seton's in Devonshire.
That's right. The chief would like you to get down there and see if you can find anything. You have full authority.
Sounds like a wild errand. Can I have a copy of those cipher messages?
Certainly, you can have them all. Afraid it's not very much use. We have some pretty good cipher experts. They say it's an outlaw cipher, sort of arbitrary code.
Still, I might stumble onto it.
Yes. Well, good luck, Blair. Where is your address at Coombe Seton?
Yes, you can get me care of Dr. Craig Holland, Astley Cottage. He's a friend of mine. I'll be there this evening.
Right. Goodbye, old chap. And keep your head down.
I know. Goodbye, Reed. Hello, McLean. Glad to see you.
Hello, sir. The doctor said to make yourself at home. Supper will be ready in half an hour.
Good. That gives us time to talk things over. Now, McLean, what do you think of it?
Search me, Inspector. There's been so much happening, I ain't got my bearings yet.
What do you think of this idea about Greystone Manor?
That's what I'm wondering, sir. Funny that place should come under suspicion again.
Yes. Did you look around there?
Aye, I was there this afternoon.
You see the owner, this Mr. Kasser?
Aye, he was there. Showed me over the place. A very friendly old gentleman.
You found nothing suspicious?
I did not. You see, I have nothing definite to go on.
Well, McLean, we've got to try and find something. This is the biggest thing since the war. The intelligence people believe that Grayson Hall is the place from which this robbery was directed.
Aye, maybe, but there's nothing to show it.
Did you inquire about those cipher messages?
I talked to Mr. Kasser about them. He didn't conceal anything. Says they're messages in financial code.
It might be too. I've gone over everything with the naval people. They've got men out along the coast hunting for likely places. I don't see what chance we have down here. They couldn't conceal a force of men at Grayson Hall without... well, without showing some activity.
But there's one thing that looks very suspicious.
What's that?
You mind when Schwartz, the former owner of the hall, was put out the country?
Yes.
Funny he turned over everything to this new man, Kasser.
Yes, but Schwartz had to get out in a hurry. He hadn't much choice.
Still, I'm thinking they're both in the same gang.
That's a guess, McLean.
Not altogether, sir. Swatchel used that same cipher for messages.
And what? How do you know that?
I took one of him when we arrested him that time.
Good Lord, you keep it?
Certainly. I have it here. Just a mass of figures like the others. No rhyme or reason to it.
Hold on. What's this in pencil at the beginning of the message?
Just a couple of letters. Looks like O.T. Swatch must have made that notation himself. Doesn't help any.
No, I was wondering if it might be a guide to decoding the message. O.T. Does it suggest anything?
Not a thing, unless... unless Old Testament.
How does all the things Swartz would deal in?
Well, how about in supper, Inspector? It's getting late.
All right.
Hello? Who? Oh, yes, sir. Hold the line, sir. Inspector Blair. Yeah.
Hello? Oh, yes, Reed. What's wrong? Eh? What? Another robbery? Where? Great Scott, how much? What's that? Grayson Hall? Oh, yes, if you think it's any use. No, nothing yet. All right.
What? No, sir.
Another gold robbery. Liner Altonia stopped off the coast of Ireland. £1 million this time. Taken in just the same way.
Good lush. What is this, anyway?
I don't know. They're working fast. McLean.
Yes, sir.
Commander Reed wants us to watch Grayson Manor. It's funny. Sticks the idea that this thing's being directed from there. We'll get a bite to eat and then get down there.
Very good, sir.
Well, come on, let's get some supper.
Just a minute, Inspector.
What?
Keep still.
Why? What's wrong?
There's something moving out there in the shrubbery. See it? Look. Through the big window.
Yes. Good Lord. What is it? It can't be a man.
Look out!
The second part of the Ibex mystery will be heard in episode 35 of Blair of the Mounties.
The Mounties.
We present the 35th episode in Blair of the Mounties, being the second part of the mystery. Into the quiet atmosphere of law-abiding England comes the thrilling news of piracy in the English Channel. £500,000 stolen from the motor ship Ibex. The pirates disappear, leaving no trace. Suspicion points to Greystone Manor in Devonshire as the headquarters of the robbers. Mysterious radio messages in figure cipher puzzle the police and intelligence officers. Inspector Blair again takes up the trail. Our scene again opens at Astley Cottage, the home of Dr. Craig Holland, where we find Blair and McLean of the county police discussing the mysterious raid of the night before.
Inspector.
Hey, Inspector. Blair.
What? Oh, hello, McLean. That's you. What time is it?
Nearly 5 o'clock. It's getting daylight.
Well, what's doing?
Oh, nothing much. I've been doing to Grayston Hall to look for Parsons. He was on watch last night.
Did he see anything?
No, no, sir. He wasn't at the meeting place. I can't understand it.
Oh, he'll turn up all right. I'm interested in this mysterious visitor we had last night.
Oh, the man with the machine gun,
yes. Huh? Should be light enough to see if he's left any tracks.
Lush, Inspector. That was the queerest thing I ever saw in my 20 years' experience. Did you get a sight of it?
No, I just saw something moving in the bushes. Then that machine gun opened up. I dropped on the carpet. Those bullets made a nice mess of the doctor's study. But what is so queer about this visitor?
Well, I'll tell you. I got a view of him as he slipped through the bushes. First, I thought it was a big monkey.
What?
Aye, you may well say that, sir. The fellow was dressed in a tight-fitting suit of green with a mask over his face. I saw him plainly in the moonlight.
Good Lord, what a weird thing. Anyhow, let's have a look outside.
It was over here, sir. Just off the gravel path.
See if he left any tracks, McLean.
Here you are, sir. This is where he stepped off the path.
Job, yes. That's a good print. Why, this fellow had no boots on.
That's what I told you. He was dressed in a skin-tight suit of dark green from head to foot.
Hold on, look at that mark of a seam round the other edge of the foot. If this was Canada, I'd say he was wearing moccasins.
Something like that, all right. Look, here's where he fired from. See? The empty shells.
Yes. Looks like a light Browning machine gun. About .30 caliber. Well, lucky he didn't get anybody. Really, McLean, this thing's going beyond a joke. Looks as if the people in London are right, and there is something doing at Grayston Manor.
But it couldn't be, sir. We've searched the whole place from cellar to attic, and there's nothing there.
And where did this strange marauder come from? Why should he be after us? Must have something to do with these gold robberies.
Aye, that's likely.
Hello? Who's this? Oh, why, it's Commander Reed.
Good morning, Blair. You're up early.
Hello, Reed. What brings you down here?
I came down by plane to Exeter. You heard about the second gold robbery?
Yes.
Hello? Hello? Who broke the window?
Oh, we had a visitor last night. Treated us to a burst of machine gun fire. Through the window.
Anybody hit?
No. Fortunately, McLean saw him in time, but he got clean away.
What sort of a man was it?
Well, sir, it was queer. He was all in green.
Wait a minute. Green, you say? In a close-fitting suit with a green hood?
Aye, that's it, sir.
What do you mean, Reed?
I don't know, but wait till I tell you about this second gold robbery. The Altonia was stopped last night in the Irish coast.
They got away with it again?
Yes, they got away again.
But the Altonia is a big liner. How'd they work it?
This time they used two planes. The ship was stopped in the same way. The engines failed suddenly and the lights went out. Then the planes closed in on the ship and dropped gas bombs.
Gas bombs? Good Lord, that's a new one.
Yes, the whole ship was filled with gas. Tear gas, apparently. Anyway, it didn't harm anybody. There were some of the bandits already aboard, as before. They made for the strong room. There must have been 20 men in it again.
Did they use the ship's boats?
Yes, same as before. But here's the funny thing. These people wore a sort of green suit, just like this man you saw last night.
Good heavens.
Yes, apparently a sort of gas-proof clothing. Bulletproof, too. The third officer fired at one of them at close range. It didn't seem to bother him much.
This is a bad business, Reed.
I should say it was. The biggest thing we ever had to deal with since the war. Every destroyer available is out patrolling the channel. But we never got a trace of those people. After the robbery, they just vanished.
And you're still getting those radio messages?
Yes, the air was full of them last night. But we haven't been able to decode them yet. It's maddening to have this thing going on and not to be able to do anything. What about Grayston Hall, McLean?
Nothing doing there last night, sir. We had men patrolling the roads. I haven't heard from Sergeant Parsons yet.
Here's one of your men now, McLean.
Yes? What is it, Meads?
We found Parsons.
What? You found him? You mean he's...
Yes, he's dead. Shot through the head from behind.
Where is he?
Out by the backwater. Just below the awl.
Anything else?
Not much. There was this here piece of paper in his hand. A leaf out of his notebook. Just a couple of words on it. Must have been trying to write something when he kicked off.
Let's see it.
Didn't have much time to write. Evidently. What is it, Mac?
Look in, and then there's an O, or maybe it's a Q. What do you make of it, sir?
I see. Look in, Q. I don't know. Doesn't help much. Better get someone who knows the district here.
How many men have you, McLean?
Oh, we've got a dozen police between here and Coombe Seaton watching the road, sir. They're sending another lot from Plymouth this morning. But I don't see what we can do. Our men are unarmed, and this crowd seems to be pretty well healed.
All right. We'll attend to that. There'll be a landing party ashore from the Repulse in a little while. Now, tell me, where does Grayston Hall lie from here?
You can see the chimneys over by the trees yonder in the valley, sir.
I see. What's that water in the eastward there?
That's the estuary of the River Tay, sir.
Is this Grayston Hall on the river?
No, sir. There's a backwater runs up to the hall, though. Mead here knows it better than I do.
Yes, sir. It's an old backwater. Used to be a canal. Runs through the all grounds.
Is it used at all?
Not now, sir. Years ago, the barges used to go up there for stone. There's several old quarries along the bank, just below Grayston Hall.
Quarries? I say, McLean, that might be what Parsons meant. Look in quarry.
Sure enough. That's an idea. Well, I'll take a look around there this morning.
All right, you better go ahead. Let me know if you find anything. I'll be inside with Commander Reed.
Yes, sir.
Well, what's the next move, Blair?
Pretty hard to say. There are a lot of new factors to work out. Let's go over the whole situation and see what we've got. The first thing was that Ibex robbery.
Yes, that was the first robbery, but not the first time we heard of this mysterious stopping of a ship.
That's right. You mentioned the case of that cruiser in the Mediterranean. What was that?
It was several months ago. The light cruiser Thetis, about 100 miles west of Malta, reported that her engine suddenly failed from no apparent cause.
No damage was done?
No, it was daylight, a calm sea. A few minutes later, the power came on again and she proceeded on her course.
Any definite theory what this strange influence was?
No. Naturally, there were all sorts of theories advanced, but nothing that explained the cause. It must be something that affects the electric power on a ship.
Well, the Thetis was an ordinary oil-burning steam vessel, wasn't she?
Yes, but the boilers are fed by electric pumps.
I see. And the case of the Ibex, she was a motor ship.
Yes, in that case it was the electric power again. The engine stopped, the lights went out, and she was helpless.
And that was the first time these people tried the piracy stunt.
Yes, of course. That was a fairly easy job compared with this last robbery. They had their men aboard, the ship as passengers. Then the ship stopped. All they had to do was to deal with a few members of the crew that were on duty, transfer the gold to the boats, and the job was done.
All except the getaway.
As far as I can see, that was the easiest thing of all.
You're convinced they were using a submarine?
Not much doubt about that. It couldn't be anything else.
And if that is correct, this mysterious neutralizing power must come from that submarine.
Of course. We'd give a lot to get hold of that craft. To find out how they managed to stop a big ship would be worth a lot more to us than the gold they've stolen.
Yes, that's right enough. And on that theory, we have the modus operandi. This submarine gets into position right ahead of the ship, turns on the power and stops the ship.
Yes, then the robbery occurs. The robbers take to the boats, pull clear of the ship. Then the power's switched off and the ship proceeds on her course.
Yes, the rest is simple. The submarine picks up the men and the gold. The boats are set adrift, and that's all.
There's just one thing that is important to us.
What's that?
This submarine must come to the surface to pick up those men.
I see. You mean that would be the opportunity for getting the submarine?
Certainly. You see, there's a lot of gold moving just now. Practically every westbound liner carries bullion.
But what about this last case of the Altonia? It is the most serious of all.
I should say it was. It points to a highly organized system and a carefully worked out time schedule. Every one of these men knew his job, and the thing worked perfectly.
That confirms, or it tends to confirm, our theory that this work is done by a nation and not an ordinary gang of bandits.
Exactly. Something entirely new in history. But the baffling thing is still the question of the getaway. Where did those planes come from, and where is that submarine? That becomes of all these new men between times.
They're certainly working fast. Two robberies in 3 days, and here we are without a single clue that leads anywhere.
I don't know, Blair. I think we're pretty warm here at Combe Seaton. That man who came last night is undoubtedly one of the crowd that handles these robberies. Funny they should take a risk like that.
That's funny, all right. Yet it's understandable. It points to one thing.
Hmm? What's that?
That they're not through with these robberies, and that they're playing for time. Doing everything to upset any chance of detection till they finish this series of raids. It also tends to confirm your idea that their headquarters is down here somewhere.
Let's concentrate on that, then. What do you get out of these minor occurrences? The raid on this house last night, then the killing of that police sergeant near Greaston Hall.
Now, you're just thinking that over. In the first place, it suggests this to me. This series of gold raids is all in a cut-and-dried plan, made some time ago. That stopping of the Thetis in the Mediterranean was a sort of rehearsal.
Yes, evidently. But where does that get you?
Hold on. Just consider that a minute. You've got a set of men carrying out a sort of blueprint job in which every detail was thought out.
Yes, of course.
Then you have these two minor incidents. Not in the plan. It points to the fact that the man in charge is a good executive, but not a good thinker.
I see what you mean. These two local occurrences, particularly sending that man in the protective suit, were rather crude.
Much cruder than the actual robberies. And it was a very dangerous risk to take.
Maybe. But it indicates that they know we're on to their headquarters.
Yes.
If we could only get a line on those wireless messages.
Oh, that reminds me. McLean gave me one message that they found on Swartz in that Waverton case.
Ah, that's funny. Does it help any?
Well, there's one thing about it. There was a notation in pencil. The letters O.T. over the first set of numbers.
Mm, O.T. Reminds me of scripture lessons when I was a youngster. The only thing I can connect with the letters is the Old Testament.
Here it is again, Old Testament. I wonder. There must be a Bible around here somewhere.
Yes, yes. Here's one in the book here. Got an idea?
Just a long shot. Got one of those messages?
Yes. Here's the last one we picked up. Just a mass of figures like the rest.
All right, give me the first few figures.
It starts with 1. Stop. 3. Stop. 47. Stop.
All right, let's try that. 1. That would be Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
3. No. No, that's no good. I thought it might, by some wild chance, be a Bible cipher.
I see. Try New Testament.
That's rather ridiculous. They'd never use such a simple... Hold on. Give me those numbers again.
1, 3, 47.
Good Lord, it might be. That's the word prepare. What's the next number?
40. Then a string of single figures.
That's the word 2.
I say, Blair, you don't really mean to say
that...
Yes,
I do. We've got the key to that code.
You have listened to episode 35 in Blair of the Mounties, the third and concluding episode in the mystery of the Ibex. Will be heard in episode 36 of the series. Thank you.
the Mounties.
We present episode 36 in Blair of the Mounties, being the third and concluding part of the Ibex robbery. In this story, we find Inspector Blair beginning to see a solution of the biggest problem in his career, the mysterious succession of gold robberies. First, the cross-channel boat Ibex, and then the Atlantic liner Altonia, are stopped on the high seas and robbed of bullion shipments. The circumstances point to a deep-laid plot in which not private gangs, but nations are involved. With Commander Reed of the British Naval Intelligence, Blair is at Coombe Seton in Devonshire. By a lucky shot, Blair has just succeeded in deciphering one of the mysterious wireless messages sent by the pirate concern.
Reed, old man, we've got it.
Good heavens. But they'd never use a simple code like that.
I don't think it's simple. If we hadn't picked up that key notation, we'd never have got it anyway. Well, here it is. Prepare to intercept liner Arcadia, leaving Southampton, 4 p.m. Saturday, 12th. And then there's a nautical position given, latitude and longitude and so forth. See where it is, Reed.
Oh, that's simple. It's off the Irish coast, not far from where the Lusitania was put down. It's an ideal place for a submarine to lie up.
And that's tomorrow night?
Yes, tomorrow's the night. But this time they lose out. That's if this message isn't a fake. We'll be on hand with half the British Navy.
I don't see what use that is. Just means there won't be any gold robbery. That's all it does mean.
What's your idea, Blair?
I was thinking there ought to be some way to drop in on this body after it gets nicely started.
Yes, I see. That's not a bad idea. But it'd be pretty hard. The whole thing's a matter of minutes.
If you give the Arcadia a destroyer escort, nothing will happen at all.
Got any suggestions?
I was thinking of submarines.
Yes, I see. Well, we have plenty of submarines, of course. But it's not so easy as that. A submarine's not a very handy sort of craft, you know. Yet, I don't know. It might be a good plan. We have the big seagoing submarines in the Y class. They're fast, too.
Of course, you know more about the technical side of the thing than I do. It seems to me it's the only chance to come to grips with this strange craft. Of course, it's mostly guesswork.
Yes, they may have something pretty hot in the way of a new type of submarine. They've certainly got something new in that neutralizing force. If we could get onto what that is, it'd be a tremendous thing.
You better have a talk to headquarters. Here's McCain coming back.
Yes, all right. I'll get on the phone.
Hello, McCain. Find anything?
Not a thing, sir. We looked over those quarries. Not a sign of anything unusual.
No caves along that bank?
Not a sign of one.
How's the depth along there?
Well, there's plenty of depth, but no place a submarine could hide out. You see, the naval people have a line on every possible place along the coast where a submarine could get in. They got it during the war.
Yes, I see. Of course, Grayson Hall may be just a sort of directing station.
They've stopped sending them wireless messages from here, anyway.
I wondered what it was that Parsons saw last night. There must have been something. Anyhow, you'd better keep your men on. Watch things pretty closely tonight and tomorrow night. Got plenty of men?
Aye, the country's full of police now. We got every road covered, and the naval patrols are out along the seafront.
All right, McLean, that's all we can do at present. I'll be here if you want me.
Very good, sir.
All right.
Yes, goodbye. Get anything from McLean?
No, he didn't find anything.
Never mind that. I talked to the chief in code. He likes that idea of yours. We're going to try it tomorrow night.
You mean the submarine?
Yes. We'll have four big ones out of Plymouth today. It'll take them all that time to get to that place.
Look here, Reed. I've traveled in practically every sort of conveyance in my time, but I never travel in a submarine.
You mean you'd like to go along,
yes,
eh?
Yes, if it's possible.
Certainly. You can't do much good here. I'm leaving for Plymouth at once. Get your things and we'll go.
Fine. If it's a fair question, Reed, where are we just now?
Oh, we're within a mile of that position they gave us in the wireless message. Right on the Arcadia's course.
How far down are we?
About 3 fathoms. We're cruising slowly to starboard of the Arcadian's course. The Y-7 is about a mile from us, running parallel.
I see. Getting near time, isn't it?
Yes. The Arcadia should show up any minute now, if everything's all right.
I say, what's the plan?
Well, we stay down till we spot this mystery ship. She's got to come up. Then we go up quick and open fire. We've got to maneuver to avoid hitting the Y-4. She'd open fire also.
Do these people on the Arcadia know about this?
Yes, we've told them. They wanted to alter their course, but we persuaded them to carry on as usual. Otherwise, we'd never have got a chance at this submarine. The captain of the Arcadia and his officers know the whole plan.
I bet they're on their toes up now.
I shouldn't wonder.
How far away can you see the Arcadia?
Well, that depends. We've got two big periscopes up. Not far. Probably a few minutes before she draws abreast of us. She has special recognition lights.
Quite get astern, sir.
All right, Preston. Can you make out the lights?
Yes, it's the Arcadia, sir. She's coming apart.
Mm. She's right on the dot. Now we are going to see something.
Don't put the bombs on her deck, sir. She's slowing down.
Stand by the blue forward tanks.
Stand by the blue forward tanks.
Stand by forward gun crew.
Stand by forward gun crew.
Got it.
Yes. Can you see any planes, Preston?
No, sir. But there's still a bomb in there. Gas bombs busting fore and aft.
Only that confounded submarine would show up.
Control ahoy! The big submarine! Coming up about 2 points on the port bow. Keep just aboard, sir.
No forward tanks.
No forward tanks!
Hold tight, Blair. We're going up.
Yeah, we're going up.
Left rudder 1 degree.
Aye, aye, sir.
Aye, aye, sir.
Away, forward.
Away, forward gun too.
Forward.
Come on, little Preston.
Come on, Blair. Up this ladder. We ought to be able to see something.
I hope.
Holy smoke, there she is.
Gorgeous.
Look at the size of her, will you?
It's about putting off my submarine, sir. And there's another one, sir.
By George, those fellows are smart. Let them get away a little, Preston, then you can open fire.
Aye, aye, sir. Stand by forward gun. Fight on, Patterson.
Stand by forward gun.
Look, the Arcadia's nearly stopped. She's swinging out of control. Her decks are full of smoke.
The white four is open fire, sir.
All right. Give it a couple of rounds, Preston. There's a hit, by George. Right under the control position.
They're firing from the boat, sir.
All right. All right.
Look, she's it, sir. She's eeling over.
Lord, there goes our last chance to see what's on her. Signal Y-4 to cease firing.
Yes, sir.
Come on. We'll get those boats. We'll get them anyway. Can you see Blair?
Yes, I see. I say it looks as if she's going, doesn't it?
Yes, there she goes. And that confounded secret goes with her.
Commander Reed, sir.
Yes?
Captain of the Arcadia wants instructions, sir. Says no damage. Engine's okay again.
All right. Give him my compliments and tell him to proceed on his course.
Yes, sir.
Hello, McLean. How's everything?
All quiet. Glad to see you back, sir. Did they get that submarine?
Yes, they got her, unfortunately. She was hit amidships. Thank with all hands. We got the men in the boats, though.
So, that's the end of the gold robberies, huh?
Yes, settle that part of it. Next thing is Grayson Hall.
How do you mean, sir?
Why, we got the story from one of those prisoners. There's a big tunnel. Runs from under the hall out to the old quarry. The entrance is underwater at the quarry end.
A tunnel?
Yes, huh? That's where they kept the submarine. It appears there are old underground passages used in smuggling days. These people enlarged them. They got plenty of accommodation down there. That's why we never got onto their movements.
But who are these people, anyhow?
Well, keep this quiet, McLean. These men were all picked men from the Mauritanian forces. We had quite a fight before we rounded them up. We got 11 of them.
There'll be a big row about that, I'm thinking, sir.
No, that's not likely. They're paying indemnity, and that's all. But it's a queer thing. Sort of secret war. Piracy on a grand scale. First time it's been done since the days of privateering.
What's the program, sir?
Commander Reed will be here in a minute. He has an armed party. We're going to break into that secret passage under the hall. Don't know who's down there, but that's where they have that gold.
What do you want to meet, sir?
Oh, you won't be in on this search party, McLean.
Lush no, Inspector. Listen to me.
No, no, it's no good, McLean. There's after a fight. No use you getting killed. It's a job for the Navy.
But if you'll give me a gun, I'll be with
you. Oh, yes, I know. But you get your men and throw a cordon on the hall. Here's Commander Reed now.
Well, all right.
Ready, Blair?
Yes.
We might as well get into this business.
Yes, we'll have to look out for gas in that tunnel.
Yes, we're ready for that.
That'll be a rather tough job, isn't it, Reed?
Oh, I don't know. Depends on how many men we have to deal with and what weapons they have. Anyhow, let's get going.
All right. That you, McLean?
Yes, sir.
Anything stirring?
No, sir. It's all quiet. And there's nobody in the house at all.
Oh, how do you know?
We just took a look around there. The place is deserted, sir.
That's funny.
Where's that main door, McLean?
This way, sir.
All right. Bring the men up, Collins.
Aye, aye, sir.
Ready, Blair?
Yes. Go ahead.
What's those other entrances, McLean?
We'll be watching them, sir.
Let's see. This entrance is in the panel, somewhere in this hall.
Yes, third panel to the left of that door. Along here somewhere.
Yes. Here we are. Left hand bottom. Yes. That's it.
Okay.
That's it. Yes. All right. Take it easy. Don't use that flashlight. Steps.
Yes.
Look out.
Look out.
Yes, there's water just below. There's a path along the ledge. Get all the men down, Collins.
They're all here, sir.
We'd better go ahead slowly, hadn't we?
No. No. We've got to make a rush. Come on.
Hold on. There's something here.
What is it?
Why? It's a man. Show me the light.
Good Lord. He's dead.
Oh, he's dead, all right.
Here's another here, sir.
Why, look. There's several of them. There's a side passage here. What's this in these boxes?
Oh, that's all right. That's the gold they got off those ships.
Well, that's what we're after. Hold on. What's that paper?
Why, it's in a foreign language. Good Lord, it's written in blood.
Long live Mauritania. Well, good luck to them. They prefer death to failure.
Yes, that's apparently the idea. Well, that's the last of the Ibex mystery.
You have listened to episode 36 in Blair of the Mounties.